Okay, someone needs to ring the bell. School is in session. We'll go ahead and start without them. Half the congregation is in the commons still having a great time. So we will have a congregational meeting this morning during worship to celebrate all that our congregation has accomplished in 2024. We will hear the annual financial report, and you'll have an opportunity to ask questions. You are also invited to peruse the pages to see the good work that each of our teams has done throughout the past year. Following our worship service, those of you just now entering will be able to continue your interrupted conversations, no worries, for coffee in the commons. Before we all go back out into this lovely, crisp winter air. This week, I will be attending the Columbia Theological Seminary Alumni Reunion, which includes panel discussions with former professors and notable theologians, Bible scholars, and homileticians. I love the big words that I learned in seminary. That just means preachers. So I will be gone from Wednesday about mid-morning till Thursday early afternoon. But not to worry, if you need to get in touch with me, I will still be checking email. I will have my phone with me hidden down underneath the desks. So if you need to text me or contact me, please do so. And if there are any major emergencies, I will come back. Otherwise, I need to verify it with him, but Dick Neely will be available for any pastoral concerns. I hope that week after next, I hope you will join us for our Ash Wednesday service on March 5th at 5:30 here in the sanctuary. This service marks the beginning of Lent, a 40-day season of preparation for Easter. We will celebrate communion together as well as offer the imposition of ashes for all who wish to participate in that. The nursery will be open that evening, so all are welcome to join us. Plus, if you would like to kickstart Lent one day early, St. Mark's Episcopal Church is having their Shrove Tuesday service the night prior and a pancake supper. So it's worth it just to go for the pancakes afterward. There is more information out on the table in the commons if you are interested in participating. They have extended the invitation to us and to the whole community. This morning, we had a wonderful first session for our confirmation class of 2025. We have 6 students participating this year in confirmation, and they will be exploring their faith through the PCUSA's Big God, Big Questions curriculum. Likewise, if you are an adult and you have been discerning the desire to join our church, I will be hosting some new member classes throughout the spring, dates and times to be determined in a little while. It is not a requirement to come to a new member class to join our church, but if you would like to come and just find out what it means to be Presbyterian, what it means to be a member of First Presbyterian of Dalton, you are welcome to come to those classes. Even if you are already a member and you just don't remember, come on and learn more. Do we have any other announcements for the good of all? Then as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, the peace of Christ be with you all.
call to worship. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread. But their delight is in the law of our Lord. They are like trees planted by streams of water, and their leaves do not wither. The wicked are not so. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Let us pray. God, our delight, your word guides us in paths of truth. We do not want to walk so long in sin, and that we take our place among those who oppose to your ways, or settle down in the company of the priest. Watch over us, pray, as we meditate on you day and night. Amen. May be seated. The prophet Jeremiah says that God tests our minds and searches our hearts because the tradition of the heart, of the mind, and heart affects actions. Trusting in God's mercy, let us invite God to search us so that God might also lead us in the way of the everlasting, praying first in silence. And together we pray. Merciful God, your call to discipleship is demanding. You call us to reorder our lives by the kingdom you are bringing in Jesus Christ. Yet we still pass by the ones you especially notice, people who are poor and hungry, people who weep. We have not stood with those who are hated, bullied, and excluded. Comfortable with the way things are, we are too complacent, even complacent with injustice and prejudice. Forgive us, O God, and turn us back to your gospel. We pray this now for our sake and for the sake of your word, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. Our God delights in those who delight in him. Let the chaff from the like the chaff from the wheat, our sins have been driven away by the very breath of God. We can stand tall, for we are trees planted beside streams of living water. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I'll ask the kids to come join me up here on the steps. There we go. And I'm going to sit on this side, Sadie. Can you swap places with me? Just sit on this side. There we go. I figure if somebody's going to fall off, it might as well be me. Oh, there we go. All right, I'm going to put my foot right there. Hi, everyone. How are you? Bad. Why are you bad?
Because you're staring at me.
Because I'm staring at, I didn't stare at you till you talked to me. Ha ha. Okay. So I have with me today something called our annual, come up here for me. This is our annual report. Blank stares. Yep, that's what I thought. So this is a report that we put together every year. And what is this on the front? Yeah, that's the front of our church, right? Yeah, that's the front of our church. It looks like someone else's church. Well, it's not the whole church. It's just the front porch of our church. So inside these pages are all of the things that we have done as a church in 2024. And you'll see that they are designed to represent our session and all of the teams or committees that we have on our session. And each report has a bunch of words printed out saying what we did last year. But then there's all these pictures too. And so I'm wondering, because pictures are my favorite. I'm wondering how many of these pictures have children in them. Will you help me count them? Get where all of you can see. We have one, 2, 3, 4. How about this one?
5.
Nope. They're young at heart.
5.
Yeah.
6.
Okay, 5.
That's me.
Let's
7,
see.
8.
Just one on that page, I think.
Hey, let me see.
So 5. And then what about this one? Oh.
1, 2,
6.
No, 3 on that page.
7.
I'll
just say,
no,
there's not. Yeah, well, we're not counting the kids, just the pictures that have kids. What about this page? This is the facilities page. Do we have any children here?
No.
No, we'll talk about that later. No, I'm just kidding. So what are we up to? 6, 7, no pictures on the finance page. Here we go, okay. 7, 8, 9. 10.
Hey,
what about this one?
Is this when you were a kid?
10.
Yes, that's Leif's hair. Are we going to count Leif's hair in that picture?
Yeah.
No? Yes? Okay.
Yes.
No. What were we up to? I already lost count.
Yeah.
Was that 9?
Oh,
10?
That was 1.
This was 11.
That's 11?
Yeah.
I think you're right.
One.
Okay, and then here's 12.
13.
14. 15.
16.
Okay. Wow, so like 15 or 17, we're not sure. I don't even know how well we counted.
Plus 3 on the other page, you said there's one, there's actually 2 more.
Oh, okay. So we have like,
counting Leif's hair.
I will say that I did count ahead of time, and there were 14, including the picture where it's just Leif's forehead. So we have, out of all of the pictures in this pamphlet, we have a lot of pictures of kids, don't we? But we didn't have any pictures of kids on the facilities page. No, I'm just kidding. We had lots of equipment, and we had safety features, and we had some decor and furnishings in the church on that page. But I wanted to point out, that Hanes could have been a picture on the facilities page. Because do you remember what you did a few weeks ago? You came after service all the way around, and you took me by the hand, and he said, "You need to see this." And we walked right over there next to where Bjorn is sitting, and there's a step when you come down, and when you step on it, the edge of the step shifted a little, and it wiggled out of its spot, so if you stepped really hard on that step or jumped on it multiple times, it would slide out from its space. And Haynes caught that. Oh, so you noticed it when someone else stepped on it and you saw it go down. Well, he came and told me about it, and the facilities team got right on it and made sure that it was secure and safe for people to walk on. So, Haynes, thank you so much. But here's the thing, guys. So this is all about the ministry that we do at our church, and you guys are a huge part of that ministry in all aspects. Isn't that cool?
Are we going to get anything to take home?
Am I giving you anything to take home? Probably not today. I'm so sorry. I know. I dropped the ball on that one. Yes.
I think we can be on the facility. Whatever you call
the facilities team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just have the computers of what we watch. Take a picture of the computer right here. Don't see a screen because we're just playing.
Oh, no. We're not playing video games. That doesn't get you on the facilities team. Sorry. Okay. So every aspect of what we do in this church, you guys are a huge part of that, and you're very, very important to us. And so I want you all to think, as we're growing, and we're going to be working with the confirmation students about... No, we're not doing that one either. But the confirmation kids who are in upper elementary and middle school are going to be thinking about what they can do to be active members of our church, to where they become part of the governing process, they become part of these active ministries. And so you all get to do that too, just by being you and being here and part of our worship and part of our events and our activities. So will you pray with me? Thank you. I love you too. Say, dear God,
dear God,
thank you for the ministry. Of First Presbyterian Church. Good job. And thank you for letting me be such an important part of it. Guide us in 2025 and beyond. So we may continue to love you and love people well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go back to our places.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. O God, whose word is like water in the root of the tree, let your word now flow into us that we might flourish, bearing gospel fruit for a hungry world. In the name of Jesus, the living word, we pray. Amen. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. Listen for God's word. Thus says the Lord, Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like the shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious about all else, and it is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. Before we come to our second scripture lesson, I'm going to fill you in that we almost did not have that piece performed exactly that way, because all of this service was supposed to take place last week. And what we did last week should have been this week's lesson. But then Hilliard and Becky would not have been here, and it would have thrown off the whole thing. So thank you. It was worth it. It was wonderful. We appreciate it. Our second scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And everyone in the crowd was trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What are the feelings and emotions that you get when you hear the phrase, "This is the new normal"? I saw some cringes. I cringe at that phrase. It reminds me of the daily sets of face masks, of expanding my personal bubble to over 6 or 7 feet, of trying to connect with colleagues and classmates via Zoom sessions, and of deciding which essential errands could be conducted quickly and safely. When someone tells you that this is the new normal, it rarely means that something great is about to happen. No, we aren't instituting a national afternoon siesta. No, we shouldn't expect universal spa days, complete with massage and pedicure. No, we have not instituted mandatory paid vacations. The new normal is rarely followed by a contented sigh and the phrase, "I could get used to this." Jeremiah was living in one of these times of a new normal. His time as a prophet began on the steps of the temple in Jerusalem. Then he, like all the people of that great city, witnessed the arrival of the Babylonians, who threatened to destroy everything that was sacred to them, their temple, their homes, their livelihoods, their very security. This was not news to them. Jeremiah had been warning the people and had counseled them to submit to the Babylonians or be destroyed. Life as exiles in Egypt was to be their new normal. It would be a big adjustment, and they would have to learn to live outside of their comfort zones for the foreseeable future. And yet, while their world felt out of control, while the people struggled to regain a sense of identity and meaning, Jeremiah reminded them that they always have a choice to make. No matter what our circumstances in life, we also have the power to choose. The consequences of our choices may change, and we may not have the power to choose exactly what we want, but there is always a choice. I used to remind my students of this when they would get angry about something that they were being, quote unquote, forced to do. In fact, my life lesson usually came after one of them popped off in class. That means they just go off. With the traditional teenage phrase, "You can't make me. You're not my mom." "You're right," I'd say. I also said something else about what would happen if I had been their mother, but we won't go into that. And I'd say, "I can't make you do anything. No one can. Your job is to decide what it's worth to you. What are you willing to risk to get what you want? Here are your choices." And then I would calmly lay out the situation, often about not doing their work or what would happen if they just stormed out of class without permission. Empowerment comes from knowing your options, discerning the logical consequences of each of those options, and then setting out on the path you choose and owning what comes next. Jeremiah put this same life lesson before the people of Israel. There were things outside of their control. They could not stop the Babylonians from coming. They could not keep their life, their way of life, intact. The hostile takeover was already underway. Life was already beginning to feel out of control. However, each person had the power to choose how they would respond in the face of chaos and destruction. I had the opportunity to witness this dilemma play out in a unique way last summer. I was working as a shepherd at Decatur Presbyterian Church's Bible and Music Camp, or BAM Camp for short. The shepherd's jobs were to lead a flock of children from one station to another throughout the day. There were outdoor games and indoor art, music, reflection, drama, Bible stories, etc. However, one day, the weather drove the game station indoors. That day, unfortunately, involved a lot of running and shouting between teams. One of the children in our group, however, had been diagnosed with autism and struggled with loud noises and overstimulation. During the game, he removed his shoes and was running and sliding and falling in his socks. He also stopped playing the game at one point and just got faster and faster, knocking kids over as he ran back and forth across the room. The leaders and volunteers were all trying to catch him, first of all, and then get him to put his shoes back on, which was the rule. The more we tried, the more frustrated he became and the more anxious, until he finally began yelling and flailing around on the floor. I called a close friend of mine who also volunteered with BAM Camp. She's currently in her late 20s and also has autism. She came down to the room and told us to have him remove his socks instead of put on his shoes. She was able to calm him by giving him noise-canceling headphones and pressing his bare feet into the cold floor. She explained to me later that she still does this when she feels or has the need to feel grounded. When the world feels overwhelming and everything begins to spin out of control, she puts her bare feet on the cold, hard ground as a tangible way to root herself in reality. Her body is able to connect to the firm foundation underneath her. It stabilizes her like an anchor in a storm. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be planted by water, sending out their roots by the stream. No matter the circumstances that we find ourselves in, we always have a choice. When chaos comes, I can run around seeking a place to blame the right parties. I can complain, hoping things will change. I can allow myself to be swept away in wishing things were different. Or I can choose to root myself more deeply in the Lord. I can shift my focus from the transient things of this world to the eternal things of God. I can drown out the noise by carving out time to simply be still and know that God is God. I can take off my shoes and place my feet on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, our only true foundation. Jesus tells us in Luke that those who are poor are blessed because the kingdom of God belongs to them. He says that those who are hungry are blessed, for they will be well fed. Those who weep now are blessed, for they will laugh. Notice in Jeremiah that the tree planted by streams of water must still survive trials. The heat will still come, but its leaves will not wither. They will stay green. Times of drought will still come, but it will not cease to bear fruit. Its roots are deep enough to find strength and renewal. Our first choice is to remain rooted in Christ. However, this is not the end of our power to choose. It is our jumping off point. Once we have regained our footing and grounded ourselves during the storm, our second choice is to take the next right step. In a few minutes, we will be presented with our annual report from 2024. In the pages of the report are dozens of ways in which First Presbyterian has met the storms of life and ministry head on. You will see the evidence of the Holy Spirit that flows through us like streams of living water. Do you feel God calling you to be part of this next chapter? This congregation has deep roots and is no stranger to being tested. You all have borne fruit in your season, and your leaves do not wither. In all that you do, you prosper. How are you being called to graft yourself more deeply into the mission of this church? In a world of chaos and uncertainty, how will you offer shade and stability to those who weep, who are hungry and poor in spirit? I perceive that our new normal does not have to leave us in a cringeworthy state. God is doing a new thing. May we stand firm together in Him, now and forevermore. Amen. Join me now as we affirm our faith together using excerpts from a brief statement of faith. Children of God, what do you believe? We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed and blessing the children, healing the sick and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. We trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father. In sovereign love, God created the world good and makes everyone equally in God's image, male and female, of every race and people, to live as one community. We trust in God the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I will ask our clerk, have we established a quorum? Then I hereby call this congregational meeting to order. Let us pray. Father God, we continue to stay rooted in you, for you alone can sustain us by your Spirit, refreshing us for the work ahead. As we are presented with our annual report, help us to look upon our past year with wisdom and discernment. Open our eyes to your faithfulness, to the ways in which you continue to provide us with solid footing. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is the solid rock upon which we stand. Amen. I'll now invite Bob Hubbs to come forward and present the 2024 financial report. But before he does, as I have stated many times before, my own personal talents do not include being gifted with numbers. Therefore, I count as truly fortunate to have the leadership of Bob Hubbs and Julie Tharp, as well as countless others who maintain our church's budget and finances. If you happen to be one who has a talent for numbers, please consider joining the finance team as we move into the next chapter.
Good morning. It's my pleasure to report on the financial condition of our church. The financial condition of First Presbyterian Church is strong. You are a generous congregation, and the Lord has blessed us with a strong financial base. If you look at the annual report on the second and third pages, you'll see a summary of the financial information from last year and the budget for this year. In a few minutes at the conclusion, I'll be happy to try and answer any questions that you may have. And please be aware that I am always available anytime to try to answer any of your questions about the finances of the church. The summary in the report shows the financial results for 2024. Shown are the budget and the church's actual income and expenses for 2024. Also shown is the 2025 budget as approved by the finance team and the session. Look first at the year 2024. The year was a year of change as Ken completed his time as our interim minister, Nicole began her ministry mid-year. Your generosity resulted in the tithes and offerings for the year totaling $321,000, which exceeded the budget by about $9,000. Income from the church's investment account and the annual distribution from the O'Tyson Trust added an additional $78,600 to income. Even though our mission giving in 2024 increased, our overall expenses were about $16,000 less than our budget. Our overall giving for missions for last year, 2024, totaled $86,500, about 22% of our budget. The net effect, considering income and expenses for the year, we ended the year with a surplus of $33,981, which will serve us well as we go forward, strengthening the financial base of the church. The 2025 church budget is about $3,000 more than the 2024 budget. In the 2025 budget, we were able to accommodate all the budget requests from the various session teams. Pledges for next year totaled $286,000. This is about $6,000 more than the previous year. We completed a successful stewardship campaign in the fall, and this was the result. The 2024 budget anticipates about 20% of the budget will come from the church's investment account and a distribution from the O'Tyson Trust. Our church has no outstanding loans or any debt. The other thing that I would like to mention concerns the operating reserves in our church's investment account. I'm happy to report that the church has adequate reserves for church operations. The church has about a 7-month reserve for operations. These reserves are in CDs and in money market funds that provide a cushion for our operating account. Church also has an investment account at TD Ameritrade. This account is managed by the church's finance team. And currently, at the end of 2024, that account had a value of $2,116,000. This is in addition to the reserves that we have for operations. This investment account is diversified with approximately 80% in equities in 10 different funds and 20% in U.S. bonds. Favorable market conditions the past several years have allowed the account to grow nicely. Over the years, the church has received generous gifts from member estates, and this has had a very positive effect on our investment account. These funds have been invested in the church's investment account and will provide support for the church for years to come. In recent years, gifts from the estates of Fran Lewis, Bill Maples, Marjorie Miller have allowed us to grow this account and will provide that strong base in the years going forward. That completes my financial report for this year, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have at this time.
Bob, thank you again for all of your hard work and dedication to this church's financial stability. You are truly appreciated. I invite you all to read through the remaining sections of the annual report, which highlight the work of each of our leadership teams. As you glance through the pages, pay attention to the areas that stand out most to you. Think of ways that you might become more engaged in the life and ministry of this congregation, and reach out to our session members or to me for more information. of how you might choose to serve in some capacity. 2025 promises to be a year full of opportunities to share God's love with others, and your presence and participation are truly a blessing. And now, as we continue our worship service, do we have a motion to adjourn our congregational meeting? Do we have a second? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, you're not allowed to leave yet anyway. Okay. Then let us close our meeting and continue to worship God in prayer. Holy One, you have created us with the ability to choose between life and death, between blessings and curses. Help us to reject the advice of the wicked or sit with the scoffers. And by your grace, empower us to put our trust in you in 2025 and beyond. As we look ahead to the work we hope to do in this world, we acknowledge that not all people have chosen the path that you lay out for us. We pray first for those who put their trust in their own abilities instead of in you. We confess that we ourselves too often fall into this category. Human nature drives us to solve our own problems and to be the masters of our own destinies. When we stray, call us back to you and place our feet firmly on your path once more. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who put their trust in princes and politicians and find themselves deceived and misled. God, you alone are King of kings and Lord of lords. We look to the powers of this world to lead us and guide us, and then we blame those same powers when things go awry. The powers of humankind are corruptible and self-serving. The powers of heaven are self-sacrificing. Give us the courage to stand firm and grant us wisdom to discern the next right steps to take. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are poor, who hunger, and who weep. If they are blessed in their current circumstances, it is in the hope and promise of better things to come. Help us to be in community with those whom society deems the least of these. May we strengthen our connections to organizations who are equipped with the skills and resources to provide services to the poor. May our little free pantry provide relief to those who hunger. May First Presbyterian Church be a safe haven for all who weep, especially for those who have experienced trauma at the hands of the church and Christians. May we embody the phrase coined by Josiah Royce and popularized by Martin Luther King Jr. as we seek to live in beloved community with all of our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the trees, for the rivers and streams, and for all your creation. As we are nourished by the nature that surrounds us, may we work to restore and protect our natural spaces. Inspire our elected officials to protect our state and national parks and to reinstate those whose job it has been to oversee their care. May we never fail to value the treasure that nature provides, not only to our bodies, but to our souls. And may our future generations be able to find rest and renewal in the forests and wild places that we seek to preserve. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, you demand much, but promise that your yoke is easy. Guide us throughout our lives, keeping us ever mindful of the good news of your forgiving and renewing grace. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, God places before us the ways of life and the ways of death and bids us choose. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this day, let us choose wisely, guided by the Holy Spirit who dwells among us. Pray. Holy One, bless and multiply these gifts we have as tokens of our trust in you. Use them to bless the poor, feed the hungry, and comfort those who weep. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, God has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Therefore, go out into the world in peace. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And know that the strong, sure love of God, the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the intimate renewing presence of the Holy Spirit will be with you now and always. Amen.